So we've been talking about prayer and faith, and looking at what prayer is, what faith is. And last week we were talking about a simple reliance on God, a simple reliance on Him, as if faith is the same everywhere it shows up. It's relying on something as if it's so. That's what faith is. It's not any more complicated than that. So when we have faith in God, we're relying on Him as if what He said and who He is just so. We just believe it. Just rest on that. Have complete confidence, reliance on that. And so last week we started to look at, and so I want to invite you there to the Lord's Prayer, the Paternoster. That's what it's called in Latin. Who cares about that? Who cares? But you want to look at the Paternoster right now. Let's look at the Paternoster. Do you know that? That's what's called, this prayer is called the Paternoster. I learned that, a couple weeks ago reading this. I had no idea. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, and looking at the Lord's Prayer last week. Pray then in this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we just kind of just parked there last week, and we affirm, and we look at this again, and we affirm again that our Father is a statement of, our Father is a statement of a God who's good. And so we just want to affirm it again, that God is good. In Him there is no darkness at all. And so when we come to God, we come to Him as a loving Father, first and foremost, and we understand Jesus talks about this, what kind of father is going to, when a child asks for a piece of bread, is going to give him a serpent or a rock. There's no father in his right mind is going to do that. And so God is like that. And indeed, when Jesus is talking about that, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer. So when we look at this, our Father, this is a statement more than anything else about God's goodness. It is, of course, it's identifying who we're praying to. But we're praying to a Father who is good. So I think this is a very important, I just want to make sure that we get this, because it's a very important starting point when we start to think, well, what do we pray for? Well, so pray for something, find something good and pray for it. It's not very difficult. Find something good and pray for it, and believe this week we visited Pat at the hospital, and when we were telling Pat's family there, the Jackie, we said, this is sort of how we're praying. We just believe that God is good. We believe that God, we refuse to believe anything bad about God. And so we're just praying for good things. We have this deep reliance and belief that God is good. So I think this is a very, why am I spending so much time? It was like 5 years ago when I learned this principle, this foundational principle about prayer. I've prayed my whole life, but I just never came to God. I was always kind of fiddling through my prayers and trying to figure out if this is God's will or if this is a worthy prayer or not. How many have ever struggled with that? Should I pray this way? Should I not? Should I pray for healing? Should I not? And of course, God is God, and He'll ultimately do what God's going to do if whatever is in the cards for whatever. Does that make sense? But our responsibility is not to figure that out. Our responsibility is just to pray, and to pray in faith. And so we just pray for good things. I find it, I struggle with pastors sometimes that, and maybe you've met them who don't pray for healing because they're scared what that means if the person doesn't get healed, what that means for them. And I don't know how many have ever seen that, but that person's in no position to pray. That person needs to repent, because he's more concerned about his own image than he is about praying. And does that make sense? And so God is good. God is good. If we can get this, I think we'll be. So Bob, what gives us the confidence to pray for healing here, that God is good. That's what gives us the confidence that we can pray that and believe that that's in the cards. And what God decides to do with Bob is not our sort of field. That's God's thing. Our field is to pray and to pray in faith that God's going to accomplish good things in accordance to his nature. So God is good. So our Father who is in heaven, God is near. God is near. He's in the heavens. That's in the original language. It's the space, the air that we breathe. God is here and he's near. And we're not praying for to a God who's out in space somewhere that doesn't have a relationship with us. God is good and he's here. He's ever present. God's word says, right? In a time of trouble. And so God is near, and so what do we affirm? We affirm that hallowed be your name. We affirm that God is holy. We have to affirm this because it's a grounding point to another attribute of God. He's holy. So we're praying to a holy God. This means that when we come to God, there's some expectation that God is meeting us where we are. True, but we're not coming to him with all our garbage. So God is holy. We have to affirm that principle. So God is our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be. Indeed, and I think it's important, indeed, he's so holy that his name is holy. That's pretty holy. He's so holy that his name is holy. So let's just dive into this next part here. So now we're getting into the petitionary part of the prayer. This is where we make petition to God. And I do want to just make a very quick point here that God's word, so the word to pray means in the original, the word to pray means, anybody know what the word to pray means? It means something. So it comes from the word to pray. Pray is an old English word that meant nothing more 500 years ago than to ask. That's why we see it means is to ask. This is really important. So to pray is to ask, to petition. That's what it is. I mean, you know, we've made it into a Christianese sort of word, and it means more than that, but the original word to pray means to ask. And so when in the King James, a lot of times you'll see when the lady who has an unjust judge is going to the judge, remember? And she says, I pray thee, avenge me of my adversaries. She's not kneeling down praying. She's asking. So the King James just used that word to pray, to ask. It just means to ask. So we're never praying until we're asking for things. Asking is the rule of the kingdom. You have not because you ask not. So we don't get things a lot of times because, oh, no, God's will is perfectly solid and it never moves. Not according to, if you don't ask, you don't get. There are things that God wants to give us that if we don't ask, we will never receive. God's will is not a box that's immovable. God's word is replete with times when our prayers move the needle a certain direction. I'm afraid that there are plenty of people who are sick, and again, there's a lot of other situations, but I believe that there are people that are sick. I believe that there are people that that have died because of a lack of prayer. I have to believe that because God's word says so. So to pray is to ask, and here we come into the petitionary part of our prayer, and this is the asking part. So this is, Lord, it's an affirmation as well, but Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So here, we're asking God's kingdom to come. Now, it is important now that we not get bogged down in the weeds here and some dispensational weird sort of weed that we don't want to get caught up into. So what we're not praying for here, and I think we need to affirm this right now, what we're not praying for here is that God's future kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, come quickly. I just don't think that that's what we're talking about. What we're talking about here, because God's word says, and Jesus said it in two chapters before, Matthew chapter 4, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. The kingdom is here. It's at hand. It's right here, right now. Certainly there are future fulfillments that come later that sort of bring the whole thing together. This cosmic work of God comes together in the future in a different kind of way. Certainly God's not seated in Jerusalem right now, but God is ruling and reigning in our hearts, and we have his kingdom right now. So what we're praying for when we say, God, your kingdom come, is not some future event happen. Does that make sense? It's not that we're not praying for some future event to go ahead and take place. What we're praying for is that the way that God's kingdom is, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is let's take the United States. A kingdom is a set of laws and conditions and a constitution and a culture. It's a way it's a way that the United States is different and unique to all the things that make the United States and this kingdom unique to Europe or Central America or other countries. Okay. The kingdom of God's the same way. It has rules, it has conditions, it has ways of doing things. God operates in certain ways in his kingdom, right? And basically we can find a lot of these precepts right here. This is the way God wants it done. This is best case scenario. This is the kingdom at work. So when we're praying that your kingdom come, what we're saying is, God, I don't want my kingdom anymore. I want your kingdom to rule and reign in my body, to rule and reign in my circumstances, to rule and reign in my home, to rule and reign in my neighborhood, to rule and reign in my church, to rule and reign in my county. Does that make sense? Lord, I desire that your way of doing things is how I'm going to do it. And I want that to be ushered in my life. So that is more of a prayer of a yielding to God. Do what you're going to do. Do and accomplish what you're going to do. Your kingdom come and reign and rule in my life. This is not future. This is now. God, accomplish something in my life that's formative and that's all-encompassing. Kingdoms are pretty all-encompassing. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I mean, it basically covers all the bases. Kingdoms. So we're praying for some all-encompassing, big-picture thing to occur in and around our circumstances in our life. I want God's kingdom, his Christ's kingdom, to operate. I want to be part of the movement of what God is doing. God, help that to happen in my life. That makes sense? And then it's like this next comment. So your kingdom come is similar to your will be done. But now we don't have an all-encompassing kingdom's pretty big. But now we're inviting God to not just rule in the big picture. We're asking God to rule in his will in my life. The little things. The little things. So it's big and it's small. God's kingdom of ruling. God's kingdom of come. God, your will be done. So it's important that we understand this. God's will is not, let's see how to best put this. How many have ever struggled with, God, I want to be in the center of your will, and you pray that a lot. How many struggle with that? And sometimes it's hard to determine God's will. and you look at this, right? So there are circumstances in life where you're like, Lord, is it my will to do this? Is it God's will for me to do this? Is it God's will for me to do that? And I think it's important to note that God's will, if we did a study right now of every place that the word, these two words come together, God's will in the New Testament, it is always, underline always, God's will is always his moral will, just a moral component to God's will. In other words, God's will in your life is for you to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. Nothing more, nothing less. Where you move to has nothing necessarily to do to God's will. God's leading sometimes. God can lead you somewhere or another. But God's will, we're just using this very strictly. God's will for you is that you be the kind of person that God wants you to be. It always has nothing more to do than that. It always only has to do with the kind of person that you are. So if you are in adultery, for example, you are most certainly not in God's will. Okay? You're not in God's will. God's will contains a component here that you're to be holy and you're to be committed to your spouse. So that's not God's will. God's will is always a moral component. Always, 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 always. So if you want to buy this house or you're struggling to buy this house, you can do either. Now, there may be principles that if this one's going to get you in debt or this one, but certainly in Christ there are green pastures. There are green pastures. God's will is just sort of like, oh, it's all good. It's all good. Just be in the middle of God's will. Just be the kind of person that God wants you to be, and you're perfectly free to go anywhere you want to go. That's fine. Be the kind of person that God wants you to be. If you want to be here, if you want to be there, if you want to travel back to India, that's fine. As so long as you're the kind of person that God wants you to be, you're in His will. So His will is not a place. His will is a condition. His will is a condition, a kind of person that we are. So what we're saying here is, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The way that you want me to live, let that be done. I want that to be done. I want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. It's also this. The flip side of that is that we're yielding to God our life. When we say, your will be done, we're yielding to God. We're saying, God, I don't want my will to be done anymore. Your will, your way of doing things, not the devil. Aren't you tired? And this is the really hard part. By the way, I think this is why most people don't pray. This is the reason why when I don't pray, I don't pray. It's because I'm stuck in my own selfishness, and I know that if I start to pray, I'm going to have to yield something in my life to be effective, and I'm not going to waste my time. And so what winds up happening is our own sin and selfishness stops us from praying. So all this is something that we already know, that when we come to God and pray and we're yielding ourselves to what God wants, and it's very hard to have sort of a premeditated sin that you mean to commit tomorrow and pray today. Does that make sense? Why would you pray if you know that in the back of your mind you mean to steal tomorrow or mean to accomplish something wrong? So for most people, they've got these bad habit sins in their life, and they just don't want to yield that. They know that a strong walk with God is going to mean to leave this particular sin, so they just don't pray. They're going to feel like a hypocrite. They know that tomorrow they're going to do the same thing. And does this make sense? I think everybody sort of walked this road at some point in their life. And so a good prayer life was what we said 2 weeks ago. It takes us out of an order that's godless. It's pulling us out of this order that's godless and into something that's got life in it. Well, that's a yielding. That's a yielding to God. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired of the devil's way happening in my home, for example. I don't know if you're there with me, but the devil's had enough. The devil and the world's had enough. Has had enough say in what happens in my home. I don't want that anymore. God, we need to yield this house to you. We need to yield this house to you. My home. He's caused me enough trouble. Okay, I'm going to take that back now. Your will be done, not the devil's way, not the world's way. Enough of yielding our ground that God has given us to protect. God has given us a task to protect our homes, to protect our families, to protect our church from the evil one. And we just cede that ground to everybody else's will and everybody else's way. And what this is compelling us to come back and say, no, this does not belong to this home, this house. My family does not belong to the devil. It does not. He does not get to have authority here. He's got no authority in this place. I'm going to take that back. His will moving forward, not his will, God's way of doing things in my house. So it's the little things. So it's the commitments that we make to God's house. It's the commitment that we make to God, and then we decide, well, I just don't want. Today I don't want to go to church. Man, no. It's a commitment that we're making. I'm not going to cede that ground to the evil one. I'm going to commit. This is a hallowed thing that God has given us, and we've got to give it to the Lord. We're not going to let the devil have any more rule and reign in our place. God, your will be done. Your will be done. Moving forward, we're going to have a house where God's the order of this place. God's the way we're going to do things. And we're not going to cede our home and our family to anything else. Well, are you tired of that? I mean, I'm ready for a house where God rules and reigns, where his kingdom rules and reigns. And so what prayer does is it takes control of that. It takes control of that. I'm tired of sickness in my house. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm tired of sickness in my house. I'm tired of God rule and reign here. Rule and reign in this place. I don't want any more sickness here. The devil's had enough say over Kelly's body for a lifetime. God, we want healing now. We want God to rule and reign over this place. And we're going to take charge of what's happening here because the devil does not have authority over your home. The devil does not have authority over your place, but it's your responsibility to lay hold of it. Lay hold of it and claim that the blood of Christ, that you're worthy, that this family is worthy because of the blood to have the protections that God affords. But I'm no longer going to cede my family, my health, my family's health to anything else. It's God's now. But this is a serious prayer. God, your will be done. Your will be done. Nobody else's. God, help us to have a church where we have families that are just not going to yield to anything else. Our families are going to be ordered by what God wants. We're not going to let anybody else take charge of it. And the problem is that we've allowed the devil in the world to take little parts of our family, to take little things. We've conceded so much ground that now it looks radical to live the way that God wants us to live. Well, bring radical on, because that's what God wants in this church, is a whole bunch of people that are radical for Jesus, that are just going to lay hold of what God wants in our homes and not give any authority to anything else. If we don't live that way, and I'm guilty, I can just, in my mind's eye right now, there are situations and things that I'm playing out in my mind right now that I know are because I haven't prayed well as a parent. I haven't prayed well as a parent. I have I've seeded too much ground. I've seeded too much ground. And this prayer is calling us to bring it back. To bring it back. The devil does not have authority. He does not have authority in this place. He does not have authority in your home. If you're a believer today, the devil does not have authority in your home. And his way's got to go. God's going to order and rule in this place. And we have to pray that over our families. We have to pray that blessing over our homes. God help us to not accept anything less. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Your will be done how? Well, right here. Your will be done right here. Right where I am at the dinner table. I'm walking around right here. In the same way that God's ultimate will has complete authority in space, I don't see men messing the orbits up anytime soon. Okay? God's will's being perfectly played out in the universe. All except here. Everywhere else in the universe, God's will is perfect. You know? It's working out just great. We hadn't messed it up, not a bit. I want God's will to operate the same way right here. Same way that it operates everywhere else in the universe. I want it to come right here on earth and operate just the way God wants it to. So your will, your kingdom, Lord, let that happen right here. I want that to happen perfectly in my home. Just like the orbits happen perfectly in the universe, man. I want there to be not a skipped beat. I want when I die, I want it to take 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I want it to take a long time for me to figure out I'm dead because my walk with God is so close. But I didn't skip a beat, baby. I was just living from one life right into another. You know? I just want there to be no inconsistency with the way that I live and the way things happen in heaven. Is that how you want to be? Man, if we live that way, God's church would just, if we had people that live that way and just a heartbeat for that, God, we'd change the world. We'd change the world. Forget about Tiffin, we'd change the world. God, just help, just let me be the kind of person that the way that things happen everywhere else in the universe, your way happens in my life. No inconsistencies, no skip beats. Just a perfect walk with God. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth right here where I am in the same way that it happens in heaven. Are we getting a picture of the all-encompassing prayer here that God is talking about? It's just, God, I just want you to operate. Prayer is talking to God about what he and I are doing together. God, just work in my life. Just operate. I just want to be like Jesus. And then we'll finish this next week, but I want to make this last point. Give us this day our daily bread. And we'll finish next week, beginning with verse 12. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, asking for what? Well, we could kind of dissect this, give us this day our daily bread. And I've read, trust me, I've read so much what this means. You know, I'm not sure I'm trusting any more commentaries because every time I get into a commentary, I get confused. I think it just means exactly what it says. God, my needs. I have a need today. Lord, will you bring that to me? My everyday life. Bread is not too insignificant for God to bother with. Okay, God's not like, what are you asking for bread for? You know, I've got to handle the world's in orbit, and you're wondering about bread. No, that's God's specialty. God's specialty is meeting my everyday needs. That's what he does. That's what fathers do. They meet needs. Give us this day our daily bread. I like that. Give us. It's not just me. God, will you bless Dale today? He's got a need. God, will you bless Dale? Us. God, this is where we start involving others in our prayer. God, that person over there's got a need. God, will you bless that need? God, they need something. In Jesus' name, will you provide that for his well-being? Give us this day our daily bread. See, our problem is, and we've said this before, and I've preached it before, but I think it's important. Most of our faith, most of our lack of faith, comes from the reality that we have taken away small things away from our prayer life because that's beneath God. For me to ask God for tennis shoes or lawnmower or whatever it is, my everyday needs. And what we've done is we've taken God out of our everyday life. That's what we've done. Oh God, and then basically what we've done is say, God doesn't care about my everyday life. He's got bigger fish to fry. No. God wants to be involved in your everyday life, and he wants to hear about your everyday small little needs. So then I'm praying for bread, and God brings bread. It could be a tennis shoe. It could be a $5 need that I have. It could be anything. God answers it. All of a sudden, I'm saying, wow, that's a coincidence. That's a coincidence. And then I pray again for something else, and God answers again. The small thing. God, I noticed you gave me that little $5 bill. Lord, I really need this. God, will you provide? I this is a need of mine. And God answers it. Another coincidence. Well, see, coincidences stop happening when we start to say, oh, well, maybe that was a coincidence. Well, that was the hand of God on your life. That was the hand of God on your life. That was God's blessing over you. And then we don't give God the praise for that. Well, eventually, that little coincidence, those coincidences start to dry up. Now, God has a favor over us. And I get troubled sometimes. God answers prayer for me. And sometimes we get embarrassed to say, that was from God, or even our own abilities or whatever. We just we humble ourselves out of giving praise to God. God's favored you. God's shown you favor and blessing. Yeah, God is good. God is good. And so we just give God the glory. We don't take it on ourselves. There's nothing good about you. That's God working in me. That's God working in me. So then God gives me this shoe. So, hey, that was great. Where'd you get that? Well, God did that for me. Isn't that great? God is so good. He loves me. I don't deserve it, but he loves me. So I start to see answered prayer for small things, and then I start to dive into bigger prayers. God, I really need this. It's a little bigger. God starts to answer those prayers. Man, God's really interested in small things. Now I got a little more faith to rely on this God for bigger things. I just start to believe that God is going to start to accomplish bigger things in my life. I start to pray for those things start to happen. They start to move in that direction. And then I start to pray for big things like what God wants to accomplish in this church. God, help this church to grow. God, we ask that that the people in the neighborhood start to notice this church and start to visit. Lord, we just ask that your favor would be on this place, accomplishing great things. We start to see stuff happening, and we have faith for bigger things. We can't jump from zero faith to asking for big things. We don't have the faith for it. So prayer life necessarily starts with start, and it always will be about my everyday life, small things. And watching God accomplish those things because God loves me. Because God loves me. And God wants to answer. God wants to answer. He's eager to answer. He wants to answer. I mean, how many times do you give, like at Christmas time, right? I mean, so you get this gift, you get this great thing you want to give, this little thing for your spouse or whatever, you know, and it's the present. And so you give the present. So a couple years ago, well, when Micah was born, he was born on the 21st. So he was in the hospital. We were in the hospital the 23rd or whatever. When we got home, anyway, I forgot to give Kelly a gift. Totally forgot. Didn't think about it. I was thinking about the gift God gave us and our son. I wasn't thinking about gift giving. So Kelly gave me a gift Christmas morning. So it's time to pass out gifts, and Kelly has a gift. Kelly, I didn't know we were giving out gifts. You've been in the hospital. I totally forgot. I have a gift. And she was so excited to give the gift. I was like, I don't have anything to do. So excited. I'm like, Kelly, I'm so sorry. She's so excited to give this gift. And God is so eager to give us things. He's eager to give us things, and we respond by giving back. We respond by giving back. God, I just yield more. God wants. I think we need to be a church that accepts this. Now, I've been preaching a little. I feel like sometimes like I'm preaching off the reservation. If I preach a lot of these messages at a lot of Baptist churches, I get kicked out. I'm going to be honest with you, Dale. That's a true story. I think people would look at that and say, you're great. What are you talking about? A God that wants to bless you. What? When did that become like a bad thing to say? That God wants to favor you in your life, that God wants to bless you, that God wants to accomplish things for you, that God is good and he loves you. When did that become sort of bad? And there's some churches that you say something like that, and they just start, eyebrows start to raise. You're like, this guy's crazy. He's Joel Osteen or something like that, you know? Hello? Do you not believe in a God that wants to favor you? Do you not think that God wants to do great things in your family? Do you not think that prayer moves you forward in that direction? Do you not think that God wants to take control and take charge and rule things in a better way? Do you not think that God's got favor and blessing for you and he wants to shower them on us and he wants to just accomplish great things, but we're not there to receive it because we're not asking. And so you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. It's so simple. It's so simple. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not in any mood to apologize for the favor of God on my life. I'm not in any mood. If God wants to show me favor and blessing, I receive it. I want to receive it. I'm giving him the glory. I'm not going to apologize for it. We should take the favor of God and say, thank you, God. To God be the glory for all that you've done. But I'm ready. I'm ready for favor. I'm ready for good things. I'm tired of dry spells. I'm tired of the snow. I'm ready for it to get warm. I want us to be passionate about that. I think God wants to bless this church. God wants to bless you. I believe this. There's some of us that are struggling paycheck to, but God wants to bless you. God does not want, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. No, I'm preaching about a God who loves you and who does not want you to be struggling, sweating paycheck to paycheck. I just don't believe that. God wants to bless you. He wants to favor you, but we need to start praying. We need to start asking. God wants to bless. I'm ready for a time of, I'm out on dry spells. I'm ready for a time of some reaping what's been sowed. I'm ready for God to accomplish great things. I think God's ready to do something here. I think God's ready to do something. Some of your families, God wants to accomplish something really big. It's going to require praying. It's going to require praying. Some of you guys would like to get another job, maybe like to get out of this space or get out of that space. God wants what? So you have more time for the ministry. God wants to bless that. God wants to bless that. God wants to honor that. You need to pray about it. Give us this day our daily bread. Some of you may be struggling with a child at home. God wants to move in on that right now. God wants to rule and reign in your life and in your home. God's got favor for that. But God's a good God. God, how much blessing do we give up because of just of our simple view of God and the fact that we don't pray like God's teaching us. Give us this, that, Lord, your will be done. Accomplish something in my life, your will. God, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. So simple. What a simple prayer. It was profound. Are you ready to receive? It sounds so cheesy, and it's going to sound cheesy when I say it, but I feel like I just have to say it. But aren't you ready to receive the favor of God on your life? I am. God wants to favor us and bless us. God, help that to happen. God, help that to happen. Let's pray it out. Let's ask God to accomplish things in our life and change the circumstance in our life for the better. Let's ask God to rule and reign in our life, to rule and reign in our life in a way that honors Him, that His kingdom come, His kingdom come, His will be done in my life. Lord, we love you today.